So I'm not sure if anybody else here has had this experience, but anybody ever wake up and the first thing in the morning, like a song will just pop in your head and you sing it the whole day? This happens to me constantly, and I wish the first thing I would think of is Jesus, but it's often not. So often as I get older, I can't remember my own middle name, but I know all the words to Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer. So go figure, I don't know, it's weird, somewhere in this brain. Isn't it funny the things that we forget and the things that stick with us over time? And it happens all the time to priests when we go to visit people in the last moments of their life. We go to bring them the Eucharist, right? And they may not know who I am, and they may not know who their family is, but if I say the body of Christ, they will say amen. Or if I start saying prayers that they learned years ago, Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tu, Jesus. And they will respond with the rest. Somewhere in there it's buried, right? And the psyche and the heart. So a lot of them have this deep sense of the Eucharist from years ago, right? It's just buried in there. And it kind of begs the question, you know, in this parish we have over 160 First Communicants this year, over 190 Confirmandi. We had First Communion last night for St. Agnes, St. Dominic here. And I was just kind of sharing with them, it's good for all of us, I think, to kind of remember some basics about the Eucharist. Let's call it, say, I don't know, Eucharistic Etiquette 101, okay? Because in a few minutes, everybody's going to come up here and receive the Eucharist. So let's kind of do a little bit of a review, if you don't mind. Before I get to that, St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 11, he says, before we receive the Eucharist, we need to, like, be prepared. Like, in other words, we need to make sure that we're not, what in his words, eating and drinking condemnation on ourselves. In other words, we have to be prepared to the best that we can be. Jesus himself talks about this. He says, my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. By the way, that's God telling us this. It's not the church, it's God. Church has a lot to say about it. You know, sometimes people, they get kind of irritated, to say the least, with priests and with the church because they say that we're mean. You know, they say that we're kind of exclusivist. Well, Father, how come I can't come and receive the Eucharist if I'm non-Catholic? And so I just mentioned this to you. What would you say to that? If you have a friend who's another faith and they can't come and receive Eucharist, what would you say to that? Well, number one, it's not the church that's saying this. The founders of their faith, while we have a lot in common with them, the founders of the Protestant faith themselves did not believe that this is the Eucharist. They said it's a symbol. John Calvin, Martin Luther, Ulrich Zwingli, John Knox, 15th, 16th century. They said, no, this is just a symbol. And so what we say is this is not something, it's what? Someone. It's not something. Because if this is just something, I'm going to go to Gibson's Donuts this morning. Okay? Get my maple bacon donut. All right? And why are we even here? If this is just something, if it's just a symbol. But we say, no, man. This is someone. We're receiving someone into our body and our soul. So, if it comes down to this, in order to receive communion, we have to be in communion. That's kind of how it is. So, let's go back to our Eucharistic Etiquette 101. Some of this will be review, some of it not. So when you come up to receive communion, there's two ways to receive communion, right? In your mouth and where? In our hands. So sometimes people will come up and they have their hands out and they open their mouth. And I'm like, okay, trick or treat, what's going on here? What's going on? You know? My personal favorite is when people come up and they have what I call the tongs. You know, and I usually ask them when I see the tongs, are you Catholic? And they say no, so we give them a blessing. So when we receive the Eucharist, we consume it right then and there. Right then and there. We do not walk off, right? Okay, why do we sometimes see that? This happens a lot at weddings, by the way, and funerals. And so what will often happen, it's usually not that the person has like nefarious motives. It's usually that they don't know. In many non-Catholic churches, they have what they call Holy Communion, but they don't believe this is actually Jesus. So often what will happen is they will take the bread back to where they're at, or they'll pass it around, and they hold on to it and pray with it, and then they all consume. So that's often what will happen is people will take it and try to walk back, okay, to which we're like, hey man, you gotta consume that. Because it's not something, it's what? Right. So again, the founders, while we have so much in common with our non-Catholic friends, one of the things that we actually differ on is that this is somebody. And we didn't make this up, because that somebody says it's his body. Right? So one of the other things that will happen is people will come and they will say, okay, well, Father, do you guys actually believe, like, this is Jesus? And we're like, yeah. Well, if that's the case, Father, like, why don't Catholics care more? Like, why isn't everybody here? And that's where you guys come in, because to some extent, I'm preaching to the choir, because the people that need to hear it are not here. Okay? So that's where you come in. Just a question, when was the last time you invited somebody to come to Mass with you? What year is it? I mean, seriously, when was the last time you invited someone to come to Mass with you? Well, Father, I'm not really comfortable to... Well, you know what? Be not afraid, man. I'm not asking you to stand on a soapbox. Just ask somebody, hey man, you want to come to Mass? Well, I don't know. We can do this. We can do this, right? Just invite them. You know, just a random question. Raise your hand. How many people here, when you turned 16, went out and got your driver's license? Raise your hand. Okay. So most of us. Raise your hand. How many people here in high school ever took home ec? Anybody ever take home ec? I took home ec. And so that's where I learned how to bone a chicken. I was so proud of myself. Miss Fiegel, God rest her soul. So recently, Forbes magazine published an article, and this is the name of the article from Forbes. It's called The Difficulty in Adulting. The Difficulty in Adulting for Young People. One of the things it points out is younger people are wealthier, healthier, and better educated than any generation before them in this country. And yet many of them do not know how to do basic things that many of us learned in home ec. Some kids in their 30s that don't have a driver's license. They've never written a check. They've never written a letter. They don't know how to change a tire, and they don't know how to sew on a button. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay, that's what they're saying. All right? I'm just telling you that there are some things, some practical life skills that we need to teach these kids. Conversely, let's turn that upside down. Is there anything that we can learn from them? I say we, my generation and older. Yes, you better believe it. What are some of the things that we can learn from them? I'll tell you one thing. One of the things I love and appreciate about younger people, it's this. Boy, if they need help, they will ask for it. They need to see a counselor, they'll ask for it. Whereas many, what I see at least, is many of their parents and grandparents, I'm fine. I don't need to talk to anybody. Really, because you don't seem fine. Actually, you're kind of grumpy and jaded, okay? One of the other things I see that's so awesome about young people is they're not set in their ways like many people. You know, we talk about this, like coming to Mass. Many people, in case you haven't noticed, we have our spot where we like to sit. Okay, it's a good metaphor for many of us to kind of get out of our comfort zone. Just a little challenge for you. Everybody next week on this side of the church, I want you to sit over here. Everywhere, everybody on this side of the church, I want you to sit over here. Everybody here, I want you there and there. All right? All right? Boy, they're never going to find my body. Nobody wants to sit in my chair for some reason. I don't know. Like, really, it's a great metaphor for our lives. We are creatures of habit. And that's one of the things that we can learn from younger people, right? Is that we've been doing the same thing for so long, we often don't even think about it. Right? And that is so true for Catholics. People will come and say, why do you guys do this whole thing at the gospel? I don't know. It's one of those Catholic things. Why do you guys genuflect? I don't know. It's a Catholic thing. Right? Where did the sign of the cross? I don't know. It's a Catholic thing. Why do you guys have relics and burn candles? I don't know. It's a Catholic thing. Why do you guys have the Eucharist? Well, because this is not something, it's someone. We don't need to be a theologian, brothers and sisters, but we need to know some basics. And my point in pointing this out between older people and younger people is whether you and I realize it or not, we are constantly learning from each other. That is especially true for our young people, because they see how we treat our spouse and they see how we treat him. Often when they think, you think they're not watching, they are watching. If we're not coming to Mass, they see that. They see that. For each one of us, we remember this is not something, it's someone. To be in communion and receive communion, we are in communion with Jesus Christ crucified. Please stand.